This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday. We have a huge hour. Yes, I'm going to get to some more Yuri Ron questions in a minute. We have to touch on, before we get back to that, another lie they're selling people out there. Larry Fink is a dirty rat. Joyanne Reed's a moron. All that and so much more still to come on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. We even have my buddy Kurt Schlichter coming up halfway through next hour to discuss John Cornyn and other things. Speaking of John Cornyn, he seems a little testy.
What do you have to say to the Americans who are questioning why President Trump should endorse you when many say that you've been vehemently against his agenda?
Do you speak for all these Americans? I don't understand.
Yeah, actually, I do.
Yeah.
Many people are asking this question. Do you have a response? I mean, you've been borderline pro-amnesty, red flag laws.
Are you being paid? Anti-border are you law? Being paid by... By the Paxton campaign?
No, I'm just a concerned American citizen representing millions of other Americans.
No, I think you're a paid influencer because none of that's true and you know it.
Oh, poor John's having a rough go of it. Anyway, that wasn't what I wanted to focus on. Maybe you've heard the headline. Maybe you've seen it on the news that the Pentagon spent a bunch of money on steak and lobster. Here's Paul Begala. I mean, I'm singling him out, but I could play you a million different things. The media's creating another lie.
He has spent $15 million in 1 month for ribeye steak, $6.9 million for lobster tail, $225 million for furniture. He spent more in the month of September.
Let me tell you the actual truth of it, and then we'll get back to the why. You get it, but here's the actual truth of it. There are very few occasions when you get to eat well when you're in the military, and that's totally fine. It's the friggin' military. It's not Club Med. Does Club Med still exist anymore? Anyway, it's not some fancy nice place, and it shouldn't be. There's going to be hardship there. And the food sucks. If you're on base, you're going to have a cafeteria of some kind, and it's going to be cafeteria food. Now, don't get me wrong. I can eat the crap out of that kind of stuff. As long as you're making me eggs and hash browns and stuff like that, I don't need high-end stuff, but it's not great food. And that's when you're on base. When you're out in the field, when you're on a training op of some kind or at war, the food goes downhill from there, and it goes downhill rapidly. You get a lot of MREs, meals ready to eat, and they're not good. That's why we use a lot of hot sauce. You got to make do with it. And that's fine, by the way. This is nothing new. All the way back. Vietnam, the guys are eating sea rations out of a can. Garbage. World War II, garbage. This is how it's always been. Right? However, right before a major war, a major military operation, they almost always, here in the United States of America, will bring in steak, sometimes steak and lobster. In fact, it's been a running joke, a well-known joke in the military, that when they announce, hey, we're having steak and lobster tonight, everybody looks around and says, oh, crap. Not because you're not looking forward to steak and lobster, but because you understand full well what comes next. This is a tradition. Jewish producer Chris asked me during the break, did I get steak and lobster before we went to war in Iraq? I don't actually remember the lobster. There could have been lobster, Chris. I don't want to misspeak. We definitely got steaks. I remember them. And you should know this as well. Not that we weren't grateful. We were very, very grateful. We're not talking like a T-bone you would pick up from the local meat shop here. It's a little drier than that. It's not great steak, but it's better than what you usually eat. All right, so that's the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter is this is a tradition in the United States of America. When you're about to send the troops off for war, you treat them to a delicious meal. I don't think anybody has a problem with that. Now, this tradition I just mentioned, it's well known. It's not like I just broke news to you. You probably knew it already. This is a well-known tradition in the United States of America. So why have you heard and seen over the past 24, 48 hours so much of this?
He has spent $15 million in 1 month for ribeye steak, $6.9 million.
Why? Because communists lie about everything all the time. Big, gigantic lies all the time.
I think our reverence for the truth might have become a bit of a distraction that is preventing us from finding consensus and getting important things done.
Words are only weapons to them. The idea of telling the truth, being honest, being known as an honest person, they don't care about any of that. That thought never enters their mind. Never project your values onto communists. They do not share them at all. All that matters is the revolution. Now, in order for the revolution to move forward, you have to keep Democrats trapped in a world of make-believe. If they ever see the truth, if they ever hear the truth, you run the risk of them leaving you. If you, it's like a cult follower. Why do you think so often cults isolate themselves in specific geographic locations? Why do you think that is? Maybe it's in South America, Waco, a mountain fort. Maybe. Why do cults do that? Physically remove the cult members from society. Well, because people are out there amongst normal people, if they see the truth, you run the risk of them waking up and leaving your cult. So you isolate them. Your liberal Aunt Peggy, who watches CNN and reads the New York Times and listens when Democrat politicians speak, she believes with all her heart and soul a laundry list of things that are simply not true. And we bring them up all the time, but there's a million more. Your liberal Aunt Peggy thinks Donald Trump told people to inject themselves with bleach. She thinks he called Nazis very fine people. She thinks he colluded with Russia. She thinks her COVID mask did anything. She thinks her 19th booster shot was extremely effective. Your liberal Aunt Peggy believes the sky is green. And she believes it because she is trapped in a world of make-believe created for her by communist revolutionaries in the media, in the Democrat Party, in Hollywood, and she never sees or hears the truth. And so she believes them all the way. This is why they are so willing to tell a huge lie, even if they have to apologize. Remember that lie from Abby Phillip where she came out and said, oh, those dirty jihadis in New York City, they were trying to kill the mayor. By the time she said that, that was a well-known lie. She said it anyway. And sure, she had to apologize. She even had to apologize on camera. But she knows her job is done. It was very effective. Your liberal Aunt Peggy already believes it.
This morning, I issued a correction first thing in the morning on X for a mistake that I made in last night's show. But I also wanted to do so on air as well. I incorrectly said that the bombs that were thrown by ISIS-inspired suspects in New York over the weekend were directed at Mayor Mamdani. They were not. I failed to catch and correct that mistake in real time, and I take full responsibility for that. And while we do make mistakes, it is important to acknowledge and correct those errors when they happen.
They always have to do this now, especially now that we've started suing them for these huge lies they tell. But they don't care. Now, don't get me wrong, they care about the lawsuits. They're very concerned about the lawsuits. So you're seeing major corporate media having to make adjustments on things. So you've heard the ladies on The View multiple times have to issue legal disclaimers in real time. They'll have their own people whispering in their ear, that's not true. You just told a lie. You have to go correct that right now or we're going to get sued. But the idea is get that lie out there, get it traveling fast, in the social media era, lies travel faster than they ever did, and lies have always traveled fast. What is that great Mark Twain quote? A lie can travel halfway around the world while the truth is still putting on its shoes in the morning. Lies have always traveled incredibly fast. Now, because of social media, oh my gosh, they can cross the world in an instant because we're all so connected now. Communists lie on purpose, and they're not worried about being exposed as liars. They're not even worried about having to apologize. That's fine. Once the lie's out there, it keeps the cult members trapped inside so they can never, ever, ever see the light. I will do more of your Iran questions. For instance, someone wants to know, well, why can't we just tell people to leave those schools and hospitals where the Iranians are keeping the mines? We'll talk about that in a moment. Before we talk about that, let's talk about you and your energy and your focus and really your happiness and contentment. Do you have depressing thoughts a lot? Are you down a lot? Without explanation. I'm not talking about I'm watching Old Yeller and I'm sad. I'm talking about, man, I'm just down. That's because your levels are off, man. That's something that you can fix naturally. You know that. Chalk is here to turn that around for you. For men, for women, they have female vitality stacks. These are natural herbal supplements. Female vitality stacks for women, male vitality stacks for men. You could start your day with chalk lit powder. It's all these vitamins and minerals you need. If you start fixing that, you're going to see so many things improve in your life, not just your energy, your mood. Try it and see what I mean. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday. You can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Get your Ask Dr. Jesse questions in for tomorrow. And let's keep chopping away at all these Iran ones you have, Jesse. Okay, the subject of this one is schools and hospitals. I need to recap a little bit of what we talked about last night. So Strait of Hormuz is obviously a big deal, as we've discussed. I think it was $1 trillion has been wiped out off the stock market today. A big deal. Big deal. Big problem. Now, people say, again, just recapping from last night, I thought we wiped out their Navy, the Iranian Navy. We, of course, did. That was quite easy for a Navy as large and skilled as ours. You don't need a naval ship to shut down a relatively small body of water. Why? Because mines exist. You can mine the water. The vessels going through the Strait of Hormuz are not a bunch of naval destroyers and battleships. It's civilian oil tankers. They're not mine sweepers. It's civilian ships. Iran knows this. Iran knows its main weapon right now, really the best weapon it has, is the global economy. It knows that, and so they have stocked up on mines to keep throwing them out in the water. That's why every morning you wake up now, there's an oil tanker on fire, and the stock market loses another $1 trillion. It's a problem. So let's just go get the mines. Well, these are jihadis, the lowest scum in the history of the world. Where do they keep their mines? They know you want to blow it up. They know American munitions can blow it up. They know that between America and the Israelis, we would know where they are. So you can't put them in a bunker. They put them under schools. They put them under hospitals. Hey, hey, blow this up. That's the problem. To get them out of that, you have to bomb a school or you have to send in ground troops. If there's a third way, I haven't heard it. I pray to God there is. That's what led us to this question. Jesse, wouldn't the solution be to warn schools and hospitals about immediate bombing? The people can be moved, the munitions not so fast. Even if they start to move, the bombs can hit on the street. Okay, so why don't we just warn them? Hey, elementary school, leave, evacuate now. We're about to drop a bomb on you. Why wouldn't that work? Well, do you think Iran, do you think the government, that evil government in Iran, you think they care about dead school kids? They want dead school kids. They want headlines like the one we already gave them, America incinerates 160 Iranian school children. We already gave them that headline. That is going to be a huge feather in the cap for Iran. You do something like that, doesn't look that good. They want that to happen again and again and again. Therefore, if we were to somehow broadcast to elementary school, get out, we're about to bomb you, the Iranians would simply surround it with guns and say, no, you're not allowed to get out. The children are the human shield. You can't just say get out, because Iran would almost undoubtedly just gun them down in the streets. It would be under penalty of death. They would say anyone who leaves this school is going to die. You sit right there and learn math. Just doesn't work. Remember how many times we've dropped leaflets. For instance, World War II is when this got really famous, when we were bombing, the Allies and the Axis powers were bombing cities. We were bombing civilian targets. It's got really ugly. And different countries handled it different ways. And it was hotly debated at the time. Don't think that everyone was all in on it. Hotly, hotly debated. Well, we were trying to do it, but do it the right way, which was such a funny way to put it. They were so inaccurate back then. There was no right way. You were always going to kill civilians. One of the right ways we did it was, hey, we'll drop some leaflets before we drop it. For instance, in Japan, we'll drop a bunch of leaflets from a plane that says, get out of your city. Get out quickly. We're going to bomb it. Well, what did the Japanese do? They'd simply tell you, if any one of you picks up one of those leaflets, you're going to die. You're not allowed to read the leaflets. That's their benefit right now, all right? Yo, history buff, this guy says. Yesterday, you were talking about the Strait of Hormuz. The first two options sounded bad, but I thought a third option could be found in history. The first two options were, again, bombing the school or boots on the ground. Why can't we use the convoy system like we did to avoid U-boats in the world wars? Okay, so just to recap this for those who may not know, the U-boats refer to German submarines in World War II. Germany knew it could not compete with the surface navy of the British, but Germany had wonderful submarines for the time. Wonderful submarines, great submarine captains. What they started doing was they just started blowing out of the water any merchant ship they found in the vicinity of Britain. Britain's an island. If you blow up all the goods that are coming into the island, you're going to starve the people there to death. It was a strategy, and it was devastating for a while. We countered it by sending convoys. You don't send a ship, you send a bunch of ships together, you give them arms, you give them a naval escort. Now a U-boat can't just pick off some poor sap in a merchant vessel. Now he risks dying himself. That's what we did. All right, why can't we do that in the Strait of Hormuz? We'll continue this in a moment. Hang on.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download it on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Now, before we get back to the other things, your questions, I had to play this little tidbit from Joy Ann Reed. Just, man.
If there is a real Wakanda, it's the Democratic Republic of Congo. No, it has every mineral that you need to make iPhones, your cell phones,
cobalt.
It has gold, every mineral,
silver,
gold,
copper,
everything.
Yeah.
It has.
Just a heads up, as they're all talking about each other, I'll let you know. She said, "If there is a real Wakanda, what is Wakanda?" You may be asking. Wakanda. Is the Chris, this, don't rub your face like that. Wakanda is the fictional place where the comic book character Black Panther comes from in Africa. It is technologically advanced, very wonderful society. It is, however, fictional. It's not real. It was a creation. Anyway, we'll go back to joy in these people. That's so good.
If there is a real Wakanda, it's the Democratic Republic of Congo.
No
it has
doubt.
Every mineral Everything. That you need to make. iPhones, your cell phones.
Cobalt.
It has
gold,
every mineral.
Silver,
gold,
copper.
Everything.
Yeah.
It has every mineral in the greatest abundance on the entire planet. It should be the richest nation on earth.
Amazing.
And instead, it's just completely exploited because of Europe and the West.
Yeah.
And these companies like Apple and all of these oligarchs around the world, they just view it as a place to plunder, like they've always viewed the continent.
Yeah, it's Apple's fault. It's definitely Europe. I'm sure that's it. Hey, cigar breath. It's not very nice. Let me get this straight. The subject of this one is midterms and independence. Trump is underwater with independents because he hasn't turned the economy around fast enough for them. But they're going to vote for Democrats again in the midterms, who are the very people who are responsible for destroying our economy and putting them in the horrible position they're in now. Are these people just idiots, or is it that the GOP is inept at messaging? Yes, it's actually both of those things. So let's recap this again. I see a lot of people who are extremely supportive of all this Iran stuff, the Iran war. I see it over and over and over again. A lot of people saying 94% of MAGA agrees with it. 94% of MAGA, 91% of MAGA agrees with it. Let's cover this again. Any political party, when they have their guy in the White House, almost always north of 90%, whatever he does, that's what the approval rating is. I know that Trump supporters, hardcore MAGA people, Republicans, you, me, I know that 94% of them support Iran, what's going on in Iran. I understand that. That's not what we're discussing. You do not win or lose elections with hardcore supporters of either side. You win or lose elections, sadly, with independents, normies, low information voters. They are the ones who determine whether or not you win or lose. And I wish it wasn't that way. And so do you. I want only the most informed people to decide our elections. That's what you want, I'm sure. But that is not the country in which we live. We decided to let every 18-year-old who manages to live that long vote in our elections. Now our elections are decided by people who don't have any idea what they believe. They don't pay attention to the news. They're blown one way or the other way or the other way. And they oftentimes vote in ways that don't make any sense. You can call them idiots. That's fine. I call people idiots all the time. They really are idiots. I don't understand the type of person who votes Democrat one year, then Republican the next year, then a Democrat the next. Okay, so you're just an idiot. You don't know about anything about anything. I get that. However, the GOP messaging is really bad as well. And that includes Trump himself sometimes. We lost $1 trillion in the stock market today. Do you have any idea how many people looked at their 401k, maybe retired people, and they were mortified today? A lot. Donald Trump came out today and publicly said, "We're going to make a lot of money if the price of oil goes up." We don't need to say that ever again. That should probably be like the last time we ever say that. Remember when last time I said that to him? When he went out 2 days in a row and said, "America doesn't have the talent. We have to bring in foreigners. We don't have the talent here." And I said, look, even if you believe that, even if that's true, it would really be a good time to never, ever, ever say that ever again. That's very insulting. And he didn't. It wasn't just me, by the way. There was all kinds of widespread outrage. He has never repeated it since. That's Lindsey Graham has said this now on camera. And now Donald Trump has said it on social media. Not worried about the price of oil. We're going to make a ton of money. I'm going to read this again. NBC poll. This is the approval rating of Iran with independents. Not you or me. Independents. The people who will decide the midterms. NBC poll, 27%. CNN poll, 32%. YouGov poll, 24%. Those people don't want to hear about how much money we're going to make. That messaging has to change. Now, he may be in a situation where, and this happens, where there is no message you can deliver that will be popular or that will make it popular. Sometimes that is, it is the way it is. Look, there have been times in history where the American president has had to go to the American people and say there will be hardship. Now, you can rewind back to World War II is a great example of this, where the American president, FDR, he went to the American people repeatedly and he said, look, there's going to be rationing. You're not going to get all the sugar you want. You're not going to get you can only have so much of this. Sorry, we need you to do this. You have to do that. We need this. There will be shortages. And that message resonated with the American people, but it resonated with the American people because they were already angry at Japan when he started delivering that message. Visceral hatred of Japan when he started delivering that message. Because Japan had just sucker punched us, bombed Pearl Harbor. Then the American president gets up in the wake of that and he says, hey, look, you're not going to get as much sugar as usual. Sorry. The American people said, you know what? Fine, screw sugar. If it screws Japan, I don't even need sugar. That message of there will be shortages, you will have pain, it can land in the right circumstances. Does the uninformed independent who votes on gas prices affect everybody, does the uninformed independent who votes on gas prices, does he want to hear right now that Iran is important enough that he can't afford to go visit his mother next week? Yeah, he probably doesn't want to hear that. He doesn't want to hear that we're going to make a lot of money. He doesn't want to hear that stuff. He just doesn't. And you can scream at him and call him an idiot, and that's fine. Maybe he is an idiot. That's fine. But idiots decide our elections. I will say what I've been saying. Not about support or against it. It's not about that. We have got to wrap it up and come home quickly. We cannot be seen to be foreign adventuring while prices go up at home, or the midterms are going to end us. Remember, if we lose the House, it's really bad. We don't want that, but we can live with it. They're, of course, going to impeach Donald Trump, but they're not going to be able to throw him out of office because they don't have the Senate. If it's bad enough that they do take the Senate, that's not good. We'll continue. Hang on.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Thursday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Let's chop away at some emails, shall we? Get off the subject here. Gracious menu whisperer Jesse, why is the center of the sandwich always the best part? Why can't the whole sandwich taste as good? All right. I'll give you the reason by giving you a tidbit that will help most of the sandwiches you make at home, the hot sandwiches, which that should be most sandwiches. For instance, if you make a cheeseburger at home. Do you know, and I'll explain to you where I discovered this wonderful technique, but do you know when you make a cheeseburger at home that if you have the patience for this, if you have the fortitude, you can make it infinitely better as soon as it's done. It's on the bun. It's ready for your mouth. Wrap it up in foil, tin foil, and simply set it down for 5 minutes. Come back 5 minutes later, unwrap it. It will be meltier, gooier. The bun, no matter the level of freshness, will be delicious. Why? Wonderful food concoctions like sandwiches, really so many food concoctions. The ingredients, they're strangers passing in the night. You have all of a sudden decided to put them together, and you want there to be chemistry there. I want there to be chemistry there. But they need time to get to know each other. Put them together and let them date in tinfoil for 5 minutes, then you will have romantic food magic. Do you understand? That's how that works. The reason the center of the sandwich is better than the edges is because by the time you get to the center of the sandwich, it's been getting to know each other. There's a real love there. That's why it's better. Do you know where I really discovered this? So when I was in Okinawa, I was in the Marine Corps, and this is before 9/11. This is before the global war on terror. My unit, we did every 2 years, you would go to Okinawa for 6 months for a deployment over there. You go over there and you train. And then from Okinawa, you go to other places. You go to the regular Japan. You go to Thailand. You do other things, all kinds of training. But Okinawa is kind of your home for 6 months. You're overseas, Okinawa. Well, occasionally, remember, everything in the military isn't the infantry. Now, it all exists to support the infantry, but there are 1,000 different jobs you can do in any branch of the military. Lots of things have to get done. Papers have to be stapled. People got to eat. And oftentimes, there will be a shortage of manpower at specific areas. And what will they do? Well, remember, they own you. You don't have any rights anymore. What will they do? They're just going to go grab you on occasion, and they're going to say, hey, go work here now. And since it's the Marine Corps, you really don't have the option of saying, I don't feel like it. They came to me and they said, hey, Jesse, you have to go work in the kitchen for a month. So I had to leave my boys. I had to leave my infantry unit. I mean, I got to sleep in the same place, but I didn't really get to hang with them much because my hours were all screwed up. You had to get there at something like 3 a.m, things like that. It was brutal. But I didn't get to do anything with them. I was going to work in the kitchen, which sucked. Generally, working in the kitchen sucks. Why, Chris? Well, it's boring, for one. There's no fresh air. It's the people who worked in there, they weren't dudes as much as the dudes I was used to hanging out with. It's no insult to them. No, it wasn't an insult, Chris. No, it wasn't. I was just a different kind of a, I was different than they were, maybe a little rougher around the edges. They kind of thought I was a little bit of a caveman. Either way, the one benefit I will give it, the one benefit, and by the way, and another reason, Chris, I joined the Marine Corps to blow stuff up and do cool stuff. I did not join it to mop the kitchen floors. That is not what I wanted to do at all. What? Chris said those kitchen guys wanted to do what you do. Nobody. If you want to be in the infantry, you join the infantry. Most people don't want to join the infantry because it's a much more difficult life. There's a lot more hardship. What? Chris said blow stuff up. Well, yes, everyone wants to blow stuff up. But the thing is, if you want the right to blow stuff up as an infantryman, you have to sleep outside. You have to eat crappy food. You're in the elements. It's hard. It's harder training. You're sweaty. You're dirty. You're miserable. It's just that's what you have to do to earn that right, and they didn't want to go through that. Anyway, the one benefit, I will say, of working in the kitchen, of course, was food. You're hungry all the time, especially at that age, and you get to make your own. You're back there in the kitchen with all the food. So this is when my deep, deep abiding love for cheeseburgers really came to be. Burgers were okay before that, but to be honest, I was more of a hot dog man. I discovered that you can imagine the quality of beef and things like that you would get on a Marine Corps base for a cheeseburger. Not exactly the high, not Black Angus or whatever it is. It's going to be on the lower end. So you got to figure out a way to make it good. That's when I discovered, make yourself a cheeseburger, slap an extra slice of cheese or two on there, and then wrap it up. Wrap it up for 5-10 minutes, stash it on the counter while you're busy. By the time you go unwrap it, we're talking about a crappy piece of beef here. I'm sure the cheese was low end, the bun certainly not top end, but it was all melty and gooey together. And it was fantastic. I have no idea why we're talking about this. Why are we talking about? Oh, the question was about why is the center of the sandwich always the best? Well, that's why. because they needed to get married. Now, we still have an hour. Kurt Schlichter is going to join us. And so Kurt Schlichter is my buddy. He's coming up in half hour from now. Why is he joining us? He texted me yesterday, unprompted, and he said, I'd like to come on the air and crap on John Cornyn. That was his sell. I mean, John Cornyn's having a tough
time. What do you have to say to the Americans who are questioning why President Trump should endorse you when many say that you've been vehemently against his agenda?
Do you speak for all these Americans? I don't understand.
Yeah, actually, I do.
Yeah.
Yes, she does. I speak for all Americans when I say we want to be safe. You want to be safe, don't you? And you want your wife, your husband, your son, your daughter, you want them safe too. Your mom. Well, what are you doing about it? Can't just hope. That's not a plan. What is the plan for when your daughter has a bad man kick down her door tonight? How is she going to stop him? A Byrna launcher is non-lethal. So even if she tells you, Daddy, I don't like guns, it's non-lethal. Pepper balls or tear gas balls or kinetic rounds, that's what it shoots. Why do you think they have over 14,000 4.5-star reviews? Why do you think that is? Legal in all 50 states. You don't need a permit. You don't need a background check. It will make a bad man wish for death, although he will not die, and your daughter will remain alive and well, unscathed. BYRNA. Go to Byrna.com and get yourself one. Go to a Sportsman's Warehouse and try one. Fits right in your little purse, right on your holster, Byrna.com. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.